We're going to hear from Luke's Gospel, the Emmaus Road story. And the lovely Val volunteered to read that for us.
On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women were amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread."
I love that story. So I'd like to tell you a story. Are you sitting comfortably? Yeah, that was really not sure there. It was like, meh. Well, whether or not you're sitting comfortably, I will begin. A king decided to set aside a special day to honour the finest, greatest citizen in his country. The big day arrived. There was a large gathering in the palace courtyards. 4 finalists were brought forward. The king would select the winner. Who would be the greatest citizen in this country? Well, the first person was a wealthy humanitarian. The king was told this man was highly deserving of the title of the greatest citizen subject in the country because he was kind, he was generous, he'd given away so much wealth to the poor. Very good, said the king. The second person was a celebrated doctor. The king had been told this doctor was so highly deserving because he'd rendered faithful and dedicated service to the sick of the country for many, many years. Very good, said the king. The third person was a distinguished judge, and the king was told the judge was worthy because he was wise, his fairness, and his brilliant decisions had been noted by all. Okay. The fourth person presented was a little old lady. And everyone was quite surprised to see her there because nobody quite knew who she was. Her manner was humble, as was her dress. She hardly looked like she would be somebody who would be honoured as the greatest subject in the kingdom. What chance could she possibly have compared to the other three who had accomplished so much? She seemed so unassuming, but she had a quiet confidence. The king was intrigued, to say the least, and somewhat puzzled by her presence. He asked, well, who is she and what has she done? The answer came, well, you see, the humanitarian and the doctor and the judge, well, she was their teacher. She had no wealth, no title, no fortune, but she'd given her all to produce great people. But on first impressions, the king missed her value. He couldn't see her significance. Often we make snap judgments, don't we, about the people around us. We look at what people look like and we think we know. Apparently, people decide within the first 3 seconds of meeting you. Psychologists say you make your mind up about a person by looking at them for 3 seconds. I don't know what you can see in 3 seconds, but you can't really get to know somebody in 3 seconds. So sometimes we miss the value of people when we look and we judge too quickly. Today we're thinking about that story of the disciples, the friends of Jesus, missing the presence of Christ as they walked along the road. They miss the significance of the stranger because their eyes are too distracted to see the very Christ in their presence. And I think for us who have been in the church for a long time, it's easy to miss the significance of the resurrection. It's a story we tell every Easter. I saw a cartoon on Facebook of a parishioner leaving a church once a year after Easter, they come to church. That was the impression of this cartoon. And they said, well, Reverend, you preached exactly the same sermon last year. You mentioned resurrection then. If you only come once a year, you're going to get that on Easter Sunday. I wonder if we miss the big parts of Christ being amongst us. So let's think about this journey from Jerusalem. Emmaus was a small village about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. So you can imagine the conversations. These two walk along and everything that has happened is filling their heads with questions. They're in a not yet space. Some are saying that Jesus was not in the tomb, but they didn't know. And they're walking home and they are depressed and they are despondent. And a stranger comes and joins them. And he asks, what are you talking about? And they go, what do you mean what we're talking about? Everybody has been talking about what has been happening in Jerusalem. Are you the only person who doesn't know? And they tell him what's happened, that is the strange reports of the tomb being empty, the crazy notions of someone saying he's alive. And they tell him of the reports. And then Jesus begins, starting with the Old Testament. I love this. He tells them his story. He says, he explains all the things that had been said concerning him in the Bible. I just think, wouldn't that have been an interesting fly on the wall moment? He's giving a Bible study about himself. Here am I. There I am. In the Old Testament. Look, there I am. Here I am. And he opens up the scriptures to them. He transforms their thinking. He opens their eyes. They didn't know that this was meant to take place. They thought that Jesus' mission had failed, that it was the end. And they invite him into their home, and he has dinner with them. And again, Jesus transforms the events. There at the ordinary dinner, at the end of the day, this stranger who can lead a Bible study takes bread and blesses it, and it gives it to them. And at that moment, their eyes are opened, and they are transformed, and they recognize him. And at that moment, he disappears out of sight. I just think that this is a fabulous story. It's like, right, they've got it. I'm off now. I think we are a people who know that the resurrection changes everything. Because we are a people who know that it transforms us. It moves us from despair to hope. From being at a grave to being with someone who is risen. It takes our blindness and opens our eyes. It transforms ordinary bread and wine into a holy meal. It takes two sad brothers on a road to Emmaus who'd lost everything and gives them back more. Jesus comes to them and says, look, I'm not dead. I am alive. Now go and tell the world. We shouldn't miss the significance of the resurrection. It makes us witnesses. I think most of us have trouble, don't we, speaking about our faith. The British aren't very good at it. You're probably not alone if you've never done that successfully. Very few people live the life of Billy Graham, apart from Billy Graham. I'm a big fan of Billy Graham. He apparently preached the gospel to more people in live audiences than anyone else in human history. Over 210 million people. Gosh. He preached in over 185 different countries. I wonder what effect that had on those 210 million people. I wonder how many marriages were saved. I wonder how many homes were kept intact. I wonder how many children suddenly had spiritually mature parents. You can't measure that. The significance that one life, that can't be calculated. Even more, I don't think there's any library or lab in the world that can account for the impact that the resurrection had upon human history. It changed everything. So at the end of this story, the two brothers did the only thing they could do. They get back up, they turn around, they walk back to Jerusalem, and they tell of what they've seen. That's what being a witness is all about. Telling your friends what you have seen and what you know. Of where God has met you and what he's doing here and now. I wonder who you could tell that to today. who in your everyday interactions that you can share a little bit of hope that the resurrection has changed you. God gives us all the power, the Holy Spirit, for us to be witnesses. If God has changed you, why not share that with somebody today?